Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, and the TuneIn Radio app, WMFO.org. Glad you are able to listen to the show wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your afternoon. Always appreciate if you catch the show on demand after the original broadcast on iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts as well. Listen, this show today, we got a loaded program. We got a lot of talk about in pertains to the NFL. We're going to touch on some hockey as well, but a lot of it will be NFL-based discussion and so forth, and what's been an eventful week across the NFL, and especially here in the United States, as it pertains to off-the-field actions and activities and so forth. So, this past week, the NFL came out with a video discussing its thoughts, and specifically the commissioner, Roger Goodell. He talked about how the NFL was wrong and how it dealt with the peaceful protest that took place about 3 years ago during the 2017 season, protesting police brutality and the systematic racism and injustice towards African Americans in this country. You can call in and leave a voice message at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. If you may remember, before I go any further, let's go back 3 years now. In 2017, during the 2017 NFL season, players were taking a knee in peaceful protest to protest against the social injustice and the systematic oppression of African Americans and minorities here in this country. You had the president of the United States, I will simply call him Mr. Trump, who came out and called those players SOBs, if you may recall, and that he would end up calling up the NFL to put an end to the silent protest. And they did, unfortunately. And if you may also remember, this was also during the time that Colin Kaepernick was about a year removed out of having a job in the NFL, and it was subsequently blackballed because he took a knee during the national anthem. And I find it hilarious when I really think about how here we are 4 years later, after Kaepernick first took a knee to peacefully protest the oppression towards African Americans and the systematic racism towards men and women of color, especially looking back on it, I think it's fair to say that Kaepernick was 100% right in his protest. He was trying to bring forward an issue that has long been ignored and oftentimes just flat out just tossed it aside, if you will. Now the NFL comes out with this video by Commissioner Goodell, which he expresses how the NFL was wrong and how it handled a peaceful protest then, in that they are now taking the side of the players and saying, hey, you know what? We support the peaceful protest, especially in light of the George Floyd murder that we all saw and whatnot. But here's the problem that I have. Here's the sincere problem that I have with the NFL. I don't think you're really sincere in what you're trying to do. I really don't. Allow me to explain. You see, this video came out after the players had came and created a video together, multiple players, Patrick Mahomes, Ezekiel Elliott, Deshaun Watson, just to name a few, came out and essentially spoke out against the systematic racism and called for the NFL to do exactly just that. That's one. After that video was posted, may I remind you that Goodell's response came soon after. And the problem isn't me with Goodell responding. That's not the problem. The problem that I have is this. If you go back and you watch it, you listen carefully to what Goodell was saying, you notice that there is a glaring omission in all of this. Am I right or am I wrong? Go back and listen. What is the one person that he does not mention in his apology? Colin Kaepernick. He doesn't mention Kaepernick's name once. And he was the one who started this whole thing in terms of peacefully kneeling and so forth. And I think it's essentially a slap in the face to everyone who participate in the peaceful protest back in 2016 and 2017 when it really garnered national headlines and so forth, that the NFL and its half-hearted attempt to try to do the right thing right now, I think it's coming across as weak and hypocritical at best. I know this sounds harsh, and I get it, but there's a lot of disdain that I'm feeling about this in particular. And the reason being is that, Commissioner Goodell, where was this 4 years ago? Why now? Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that the NFL is recognizing its wrongdoing and owning up to it, which is big. Because the NFL never does that. Never, ever. Not even when it came to the concussions and how it's handled the concussions, and especially with the funds, the retirement funds for the NFL alumni players. But the NFL never admits when it's wrong, but it's doing so now. But I will give them that credit. But at the same time, I have a problem. The problem that I have legitimately with the NFL is their inability to come to full grips of why it had handled the peaceful protests so poorly. And I'm blasting Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones in this regard. How is it that you come out 3 years ago and you say to the Dallas Cowboys players, you will stand for that flag or you will not play? Yet now, you're radio silent. You're quiet. I'd like to know, why is that? Why are you quiet now? Is it because you've made that statement and you don't want to retract that statement? Or two, you told us how you really felt back then, and yet you're not willing to take a step back to reassess your point and your stance? Or is it three, that you are too proud of a man and too proud of an owner, or in fact that you are running your organization like a plantation, to admit that, hey, this peaceful protest during the anthem, it had a point in 2016, it had a point in 2017, and it sure as hell is going to have a point now, come the fall, if and when the NFL season does start, if it starts on time at that. To me, right now, Goodell is looking very weak and very insincere. And Jerry Jones is looking even worse. Because here's the other part of it as well. Goodell's bosses are the 32 NFL owners. He's not the boss of the 32 owners. The 32 owners, they are all the bosses of Commissioner Goodell. You tell me for a 1 minute, honestly, when you heard that apology, that you thought that Goodell was really sincere in what he said? I have a hard time believing that. I really do. And the other part of it is this. Roger Goodell and its handling of Kaepernick, and especially this is all tied to the recent events within the last couple of weeks as it pertains to George Floyd. And you go back and you remember how Goodell handled Kaepernick, and as well as the peaceful protests across the NFL that took place during the 2017 season. How is it that Goodell could honestly come out and say that he was wrong but not mention Kaepernick's name? That's why I have a problem with the apology. I get that they're trying to do right. I get it. But if you're going to do right, and make a statement, own it in totality. Own it, all of it. Own it in totality. Be sincere and be genuine. Don't leave out anything that doesn't need to be left out, because you know in your conscience, in the way that you handled Kaepernick and the peaceful protest, because Kaepernick wasn't the only one, and the other players who peacefully protest during the NFL season, but it's Kaepernick who ended up being blackballed out of the NFL as a result of it. He was the one that suffered the most. His career came to an abrupt end. And who knows? Who knows at this point if he'll even get another chance? Oh, he was given a tryout opportunity a year ago. Oh, that bogus tryout down in Atlanta? Right. That was another half behind attempt to say, hey, see, we try to give him another opportunity. But the fact of the matter is this. Roger Goodell, I've had problems with, frankly, over the last several years. From Deflategate to Spygate, and especially even more so now how he's handled the peaceful protest, and as well as his statement now. I give credit where credit is due in terms of Goodell's ability to come out and admit that you're wrong about something, but I'm not accepting it, and I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. And that's simply because you didn't mention Kaepernick's name once, and why is that? There are many theories out there that are wondering, hey, why do you think that is? Do you think it's a legality issue, given that the NFL and Colin Kaepernick went to court over the collusion case? Do you think that could be it? Maybe. But at the same time, I don't think any apology from the league, especially Goodell himself, ought to be taken at full face value until he can completely own up to the fact that Kaepernick was 100% right. Until that point happens, no. I'm not accepting the apology from Goodell. Not at all. And that's also the other part of it too. The NFL players know that Kaepernick was 100% right in his peaceful protest. It was the rest of America, racist America, that had a problem with it. Y'all had a problem with the message. Y'all had a problem with the messenger. And now suddenly, the NFL is trying to do the right thing while assessing the temperature in the room? No. Please. And you couldn't even utter his name in the process. And you expect me to suddenly say, but you won't even give the commissioner credit for trying. I'm not giving him credit for trying. What he should have done is not be a complete dink in terms of his ability to give Kaepernick a legitimate chance. But the other part of it is, if you wrong someone, admit that you wrong him and mention his name. Not just the protest. Because dare you forget, Kaepernick was the face of the protest. He was the one that brought the issue of social injustice to the forefront and followed up the protest by putting the money where his mouth is. But you so conveniently forget that Kaepernick, in the process, also went out of his way and has helped give him back to the communities in which that they have felt the impact of the social injustice, and as well as just giving back to African Americans in general. And if you still don't believe it, if you don't believe it, do you and I a favor and actually Google it, because that's been out there for a few years now. And I'm not going to spend the rest of my time having to explain exactly what he did, because he has. And if you choose to ignore that, then you're just willfully ignorant. Just like Roger Goodell. Harsh? Yes. Pretty harsh. And rightfully so. And I'm not apologizing for that. But the fact of the matter is this. When you are the commissioner of the NFL and you are in a leadership position, there has to come a point where you have to take full accountability for your actions and for what you have done. And what you did to Kaepernick, whether he had a rough ending in San Francisco or not, was gravely wrong. And when you try to apologize, you can't even mention his name. Pathetic. Pathetic and cowardly. That's the best way I look at it. Coming up next, I want to put out an interesting question and thought, and I noticed it has been talked about this week. And that question is, should the New England Patriots give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity to return to the NFL? That and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, and as well as streaming on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. For Tufts Free Farm Radio. Glad you're able to join the show on another Saturday, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your day. Now, in this segment, I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick and his prospects of possibly returning to the NFL. Now, with everything that has been going on, especially with the NFL's apology for how it's handled the peaceful protests, and as well as taking a stand for on the Black Lives Matter movement, there is something that has come up, especially within the past week, and I want to have an opportunity to talk about this in detail on the show, and that is Colin Kaepernick. What are his chances of actually signing on by a team and being on an NFL roster this upcoming fall? Feel free to give me your thoughts by calling to leave a voice message at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Now, I want to start off by saying this for a fact. I want to start off by saying that Colin Kaepernick has been out of the NFL for 4 years. 4 years. 4 years is an awfully long time for anyone to be out the league, especially when they were in the prime of their careers when they were in the league. And for him to return at this point would not only give him an opportunity to resume his NFL career, but also correct and engrave justice done towards him by the league. But the other question is, does he want to play? I'm sure he still does, but we don't know. We just don't know at this point. But let me also start by saying this as well. When you have an opportunity to really make an impact on the level in which that he has, and we all know that he fell on the proverbial sword, as in he made a sacrifice by standing firmly for what he believed in and so forth. While people out there may say, what exactly did he sacrifice? He wasn't any good and so forth. That's not the point. He took a stand for something controversial and actually something very important, especially considering in the wake of the George Floyd murder, he was right on along. But the point is that Kaepernick, he wants to have an opportunity, a fair opportunity to return to the league, I would hope. I would hope. But I also do wonder this. 4 years, yes, he's been training. Yes, he's been doing X, Y, and Z. But especially with the pandemic going the way that it has been going, I think it's fair to wonder whether if he will be still remotely accurate in terms of making the necessary throws that he needs to make at the NFL level and so forth. And that's something that we really won't really know until he has a legitimate chance, not some nonsensical put together tryout that was put together by the NFL a year ago. No, we're talking about an actual chance to say, hey, Colin, come in. We want to offer you an invite to NFL training camp, so we can have an opportunity to crack a roster and so forth. So come on in. You give him an actual chance. And we won't really know whether if he fails or if he succeeds until he gives that chance. If he's given that chance and he doesn't succeed, okay, we can actually say that, you know what, he tried. He actually was giving a legitimate chance. No argument. Not going to argue against that. And it just didn't work out. But if he is given a chance and he's given an opportunity to be a starter and so forth, why not? Why not give him that opportunity? I'm not saying, oh, just give it to him outright. No. What I'm saying is that put him in a position in which that he's going to succeed. And the question that I beg to ask is this. There are maybe a handful of teams right now whose quarterback situations is not ideal. Patriots being one of them. Jacksonville being another team. And in terms of the New England Patriots perspective, would you want to see the Patriots sign Colin Kaepernick? Here's my take. Only for the right reasons. Allow me to explain. When I say for the right reasons, I mean for the right reasons as in, hey, he gives us a legitimate chance to win and he's willing to adapt to the Bill Belichick offensive system and so forth, and that he's a good fit. The last thing I would want is for him to sign with the team and he's just standing on the sideline, just holding up a chart or just having the headsets on the sidelines. That's the last thing that I would want. Because in the end, if that were to happen, if that were to in fact happen, what it would look like is just that, oh, he's just checking off a box. He's just filling in the status quo. Well, he's back in the league. We did our part. Yay. Case closed. But we know that's not the case. So my thing becomes, if the Patriots are going to sign Colin Kaepernick, and personally, I'm putting this out there now, I hope that they do, but for the right reasons. You gave him a chance to compete for the starting job. I'm not going to sit here and say that, well, let's go ahead and sign Colin Kaepernick just for the sake of signing Colin Kaepernick and being that team. Like, oh, we signed Colin Kaepernick, everybody. Look at us. Pat ourselves on the shoulder. No. Sign Kaepernick because he can be a viable option and a viable piece of this Patriots offense who will enter the 2020 season with a lot of question marks. Obviously, with Brady being gone, but there's a lot of question marks at that quarterback position. You don't know what you're going to get out of Stidham, and you sure as heck don't know what you're going to get out of Brian Hoyer. And also, your biggest and your best piece offensively right now is Julian Edelman, and he's coming off a year in which that he was battered and bruised. So, with all of that being said, and on top of that, you don't know what you're going to get out of Sony Michel. So, with all that being said, do you think the Patriots should sign Colin Kaepernick? Feel free to leave your thoughts at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And this is something that should provoke some serious thought. Because I want to say this emphatically. If it doesn't work with Stidham, and you turn to Brian Hoyer, and he struggles, now what? But yet again, let's look at Kaepernick solely, individually. 4 years, he's been out of the league. Yes, he's been working out, and so forth. So the conditioning I'm not concerned about is his ability to make the throws, to make those completions, hitting receivers right on time, whether they're running the skinny post, or the slant, or the curl in, and so forth. That's my concern. Can he still make the throws? Can he still make the big plays that's going to help him become, yet again, a successful NFL quarterback? Because it wasn't that long ago, early in his career, that Kaepernick was a legitimate, viable NFL quarterback, especially when Jim Harbaugh was in San Francisco under the pistol offense. But that offense was, as you could say, was curtailed to the skill sets of Kaepernick. I don't know if the Patriots, if they were to sign him, let's hypothetically say, if the Patriots were to sign him, whether if that would actually be a good thing based on the offensive system that's here in New England and whether if he will be a good fit or not. That's why I'm saying, let's see, first and foremost, how is he after 4 years? And on top of that, is he going to be a good fit for the Patriots offense? I don't want him just to be the token signing by an NFL team just to say that, well, he's no longer out of the league, but he's back in the NFL now. No. What I ultimately want for Kaepernick is for him to come back into the league and have an opportunity to start in the right system, in the right team that's going to give him a chance to start. Now, if you look at Jacksonville, for example, I mentioned the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do you think that Gardner Minshew is better than Kaepernick right now? You could say yes. But personally, I don't know. Because we haven't seen Kaepernick perform in 4 years on the NFL field. We just don't know. But does Kaepernick give you an immediate better shot to win than Gardner Minshew? Maybe. But we have no definite way of actually knowing. It's just not possible. And I think the fact that he has been out of the league for 4 years, he hasn't played in the NFL since 2016, is the big caveat in all of this. Not his peaceful protest. No. It's his ability to still perform at a high level in which that's going to help an NFL team win. That's really the big piece in all of this. And I'm genuinely curious to see what happens in the coming weeks, in the coming months. Does Kaepernick get signed by the NFL team? There's a chance. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. We don't know. But with the NFL, you just don't know. They may, and I don't know if they will, put out an actual flyer and say, hey, you know what? Let's give Kaepernick a chance and let's see what he can actually do and not try to just throw him a bone in which that it's just basically half-hearted and just lazy. That's the thing that I think is going to be the ultimate determining factor as to whether if this works or not. We don't know. There's only one way to really find out at this point. But time will tell. You got July. The end of July is when the NFL training camps are slated to open. Let's hope, in fact, that they start on time. But let's also hope and see that perhaps Kaepernick does get a chance. My thing is, at the end of the day, what I hope for is that Kaepernick gets a chance and that he's given the opportunity to win a starting job fairly. Not just given one because he's been demanding one for 4 years. No. That he's actually earned it. That's the big hope. And that a team out there is willing to take that chance. Coming up next, we're going to talk about what on earth is going on in terms of one particular athlete that has got my attention and has got me thinking, bruh, are you serious? That and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming globally on WMFO.org and streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app. We'll be right back.
I hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I wanna be the one with you. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Bringing you the hottest tracks from around the globe.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio.
With your host, FR. Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM and live worldwide at WMFO.org.
Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio, only here on WMFO.
Welcome back to the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. Before I continue on with any housekeeping items I usually take care of during the show, there's something I would actually want to say real quick. I was going to talk about something in regards to an athlete that got me thinking, bruh, like, are you kidding me? But there is a piece of news that actually broke that is a bit more of importance to me. So I'm going to talk about that instead. So I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, housekeeping items in regards to the Sugar Right Show. Just as a reminder that you can catch the show in all radio broadcasts of the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford on podcast. You can go to the Sugar Rights podcast page on iHeartRadio. It's also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts as well. So just as a reminder, in case if you ever missed the live broadcast of the Shukri Wright Show, you can catch it on the podcast, which will be posted same day of the show, just after the show ends, in fact. So as a reminder, you can find all radio broadcasts of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford on the podcast, which you can find on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and as well as iHeartRadio. So the news that broke that I'm going to talk about in detail with you during this last several minutes of the program is a statement that the Boston Red Sox released regarding Torii Hunter. Now, in case if you haven't heard by now, Tory Hunter came out and spoke about the racist encounters that he encountered in Boston as a player. Although he never played for the Red Sox, but as a visiting player, he talked about in detail some of the things that he endured playing as a visiting player at Fenway, or even just walking outside of Fenway Park and whatnot. And this has definitely gained a lot of attention. And I want to first and foremost say the following. I want to first and foremost say that just because, and there are people who think this, but just because you don't think it happens or it's never happened doesn't mean it's not real. Because we live in a time in which that it's become too familiar to take the truth as what it really is. Because, oh, it must not be true. We haven't heard it. You can't prove it. So it didn't happen. But the reality is, kudos to the Boston Red Sox for acknowledging that these things do happen. And I want to remind everybody in terms of the Adam Jones incident that happened 3 years ago, in which that fans in center field were calling him racist names and taunting him with racist phrases and suggestions while he was a visiting player playing for the Baltimore Orioles at that time. So kudos to the Boston Red Sox in acknowledging that these things do happen and that it is real. And that they're willing to at least acknowledge the fact that these things do happen, and they're willing to take a stand. So here is the statement from the Boston Red Sox that that they released on Thursday. And here it is. Tory Hunter's experience is real. If you doubt him because you've never heard it yourself, take it from us. It happens. Last year, there were 7 reported incidents at Fenway Park where fans used racial slurs. Those are just the ones we know about. And it's not only the players. It happens to the dedicated black employees who work for us on game days. Their uniforms may be different, but their voices and experience are just as important. We are grateful to everyone who has spoken up and remain committed to using our platform to amplify the many voices who are calling out injustice. There are well-established consequences for fans who use racial slurs and hate speech in our venue. And we have more work to do. This small group of fans does not represent who we are, but rather a reflection of large systematic issues that as an organization we need to address. True change, starts from within. And as we identify how we can do better, please know we are listening. We hear you and we believe you. Unquote. I give the Boston Red Sox credit for addressing this head on. Because in a city in which that it is well known for its racist history, unfortunately, this is a big statement by the Boston Red Sox, especially, consider this, especially that the Red Sox were the last team in Major League Baseball to integrate an African-American player onto its roster. Considering that the Red Sox have had issues with visiting players and being subjected to racist taunts and slurs being hurled at visiting players at Fenway Park. Cesar Sabathia at one point himself even mentioned that he has heard such things as a visiting player when he was a Yankee. And it wouldn't shock me if that was the case, if that happened while he was also a Cleveland Indian. So I definitely want to talk about why this is so important. Number one, too many times we get comfortable with, oh, we didn't hear it, we didn't see it, or it didn't happen, it doesn't exist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to break it to you, but these things do happen. And especially in a time in which that we live in, and we're trying to call for change to end racism and systematic oppression towards African Americans in this country, these are the type of things that's going to take for us to really enact change. The people who I have a problem with are the racists and those racists who don't think they're racist. The problem that I have is that when you talk about people in which that say, well, this is fake news, or, oh, I'm not racist, I have friends that are black, or the ones who absolutely deny the very notion of the fact that they have racist undertones within themselves. So when I tell you that guys like Tory Hunter, Adam Jones, CeCe Sabathia, just to name a few, that have come out and have admitted to have been subjected to racial slurs and racist behavior by both adults and, sadly enough, in Tory Hunter's case, by children whose parents don't stand up and say, you know what, that's wrong. There's a problem. And it's an ugly truth for a city that has had to work so hard to remove itself from its ugly days of its intense racist history, that yet again, it finds itself having to clean up and take action for its fans who choose to turn towards racism as an outlet to exhort their energy towards a visiting player. This city, and I love this city for the sports, for how passionate it is, but passionate fans and racism does not go together. It doesn't. So spare me the excuse of, well, this city is just really passionate. No, 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 no. This city is passionate, but it can be passionate without the race, without the racial slurs, without the racism. That is what this city can do and can be. It can be better than this. It must be better than this. And the Red Sox, and I respect the fact that they're trying to move far away from its racist history. And they started that a year ago when they changed Yawkaway and became the New Jersey Street. So kudos to them. But to address an even bigger issue, I sincerely wish that more teams would take a stand like what the Boston Red Sox did today. I have a ton of respect for the teams here locally, from the bottom of my heart, I do. But I really do think that we have to do better as a society and as a people. If we are going to enact real change in this country and to finally have the opportunity to live as a country and uphold its standard for justice for all, then this whole racist notion and the history of racism that this nation has, especially in sports, has got to go. And that's why I think it's so important, as to the statement that the Red Sox made, to the gestures that Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara of the Boston Bruins made, to what Marcus Smart did, and as well as Jaylen Brown did, participating in a peaceful protest, to what the McCourty twins for the New England Patriots are currently doing with their off the field work, and Matthew Slater as well, just to name a few. It's so important for those guys and for all in which that they're doing to contribute towards a better society. But the truth of the matter is this. The truth is that we all, as fans and as people, have got to be better. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. It's easy to point the finger and say, well, how about this? How about this? How about that? Enough. It's time that we hold each other and hold ourselves accountable for the racist thoughts, the prejudiced thoughts and actions and behaviors that create harm and as well as emotional hurt and trauma on towards other people. It's time that we take a stand and say, you know what, this is wrong and this is not okay. We have to be better than this as sports fans, but more importantly, as human beings. It makes me sad when I hear about stories of what Tory Hunter went through in the incident that took place with Adam Jones went through. Because as a man of color, as an African American, as a black man, we are constantly told racism doesn't exist. Racism ended when Obama took office. But the harsh truth is that racism still exists to this day. And the systematic oppression that African Americans face is very real, no matter how much you want to try to ignore. And I really wish from the bottom of my heart, at the end of the day, that we can be better. And I hope that we can be better. We can learn from this. And that's why the statement that the Boston Red Sox made today is so important and poignant, that they took that step. But now it's about action. What are they going to do next? That's the question that I have. What's the action? What are they going to do? What are we as a society and as a people are going to do? That's the question that I legitimately have. We're going to pause for just a quick moment for station identification. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, and the TuneIn Radio app. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, South Street from Radio. We got, maybe about 3 minutes left of the show. So just want to use these final 3 minutes to go over some housekeeping items in regards to the Shukri Wright Show. Number one, we are on Saturdays, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. You can stream the show nationwide on your smartphones on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as you can listen to the show globally all over the world on WMFO.org. And also, as a reminder, in case if you happen to miss the broadcast, you can listen to it on the podcast. It'll be posted after the show is concluded on that very same day, Saturday. If I'm on the airwaves, it'll be posted that Saturday evening and so forth. You can listen to it on demand. You can find it on iHeartRadio, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts as well. Follow me on social media at Shukri Wright, at Shukriwrights. Follow me on Instagram at SWrightRadio_. That's at SWrightRadio_. You can follow me on social media for any news and highlights in regards to the Shukri Wright Show, and as well as any announcement in regards to the podcast. So next week on the Shukri Wright podcast, I do have one confirmed guest that'll be coming on, and that is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Alex Foes, who will be on the podcast. By the way, he is a rising star in the industry. He's currently the minor league voice of the Burlington Royals. He is also the host of his own podcast. He's got a lot of great things going for him. So he's definitely going to be a great interview to check out next week on the Shukri Wright podcast. So he'll be on the podcast. So stay tuned and follow me on social media, as mentioned and so forth. So also, I also want to make mention of this as well, while I got the opportunity. So starting next week, we're going to be doing a countdown to the 1 year anniversary of the Shukri Wright Show. I know it's crazy. The 1 year anniversary of the Shukri Wright Show is July 6, 2019 was the 1 year anniversary of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO. So we're going to do a 1 year anniversary radio show. And right now, the plan is for it to be on July 5th, 2020. So keep that in mind. That's a Saturday. So just keep that in mind. And until then, I'll be back on the airwaves again next week, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. So next week, we'll start talking about potential plans for the celebration of the 1 year anniversary. You're listening to Shukri Wright on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Have a good one, everybody.